Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Tajeez Ash'ar of Hakim Muhammad Akhtar Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh. The title is Fida Tujhpe Ye Khaake Shahr-e-Madina. Mubarak Tujhe Ho Ye Arz-e-Madina. Nabi Ka Shahr Hai یہ شہرِ مدینہ مبارک تجھے ہو اے عرضِ مدینہ نبی کا شہر ہے یہ شہرِ مدینہ تیرے پاس جب سید دو جہاں ہے صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم تیرے پاس جب سید دو جہاں ہے نہ کیوں رشک افلاک ہو پھر مدینہ تیرے سبز گنبد پہ عالم فدا ہے فلک جیسے چومے زمین مدینہ تیرے سبز گنبد پہ عالم فدا ہے فلک جیسے چومے زمینِ مدینہ تیرا ذرہ ذرہ نشانِ نبی ہے فدا تجھ پہ میں خاکِ شہرِ مدینہ تیرا ذرہ ذرہ نشانِ نبی ہے فدا تجھ پہ میں خاک شہر مدینہ احد کے یہ دامن میں خون شہیدہ سبق دے رہا ہے وفائے مدینہ احد کے یہ دامن میں خونِ شہیدہ سبق دے رہا ہے وفائے مدینہ نشانی ہے اسلام کی عظمتوں کی صحابہ کے قدموں سے خاکِ مدینہ رضی اللہ تعالیٰ عنہ نشانی ہے اسلام کی عظمتوں کی صحابہ کے قدموں سے خاک مدینہ وفاداریوں پر صحابہ کی اختر ہے تاریخ روشن یہ شہرِ مدینہ وفاداریوں پر صحابہ کی اختر ہے تاریخ روشن یہ شہرِ مدینہ مبارک تجھے ہو اے عرضِ مدینہ نبی کا شہر ہے یہ شہرِ مدینہ بسم اللہ الرحمن الرحیم نحمد و نصلی علی رسول کریم اللہم صلی علی سیدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد فدا تجھ پہ اے خاک مدینہ فدا تجھ پہ اے خاک شہر مدینہ صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم نہایت بھی سیکریفائس May my parents be sacrificed. May the whole world be sacrificed for you over the sand of the city of the blessed land of Medina Munawwara. Mubarak tujhe, O Ardhe Medina. Nabi ka shahar hai, ye shahar hai Medina. He says, how wonderful and how blessed you are, O the land of Medina Munawwara. This is the land of my Nabi. This is the city of Medina Munawwara. Tere paas jab sayyide do jahan hai. When the leader of both the worlds has been handed over to you, nakyu urast ke aflaq ho fir Medina. Why should it then not be that Medina Munawwara has become the envy of the heavens? How we look up at the heavens, and how much science will say to us that the amount of stars, and how every star has its own glitter, and in a dark night how it can give out such a, and each star they explain what light and what light. It is the city of Medina Munawwara that because of the blessed body of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that it will be a billion stars also looking at his Mubarak body, and that billion stars will say that the light of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam has enveloped the entire. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, just before his death, when the city of Yathrib was, when the city of Taif was taken over, it was the battle of Hunain. So after that, a lot of animals were found in the valleys, because the people who came to fight the people of Taif, they brought all their animals with, so that we won't run, we're going to fight this thing. So the Muslims won that battle. And after the battle, now those that had just accepted Islam, and some that were told, we have given grace that we will think about it. So some of them went to that battle, and they even said, in the battle we are saying we hope the non-Muslims win. Some of them had accepted Islam, and they said, we were also saying that. That the Islam at that moment was so shaky. And the one says that while I was thinking that, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam called me after the battle. And he says, what you were thinking about in that battle isn't this much better. That we won it. So you got a shock, like, how did you know what I was thinking? And he said, how much better it is. You see, this whole valley, this whole thing is for you. So the man got so happy. So at that time, certain of the Ansar, the youngsters, they saw that. So an Ansari Sahabi radiallahu anhu went back, and he said that when Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam came to Medina Munawwara, we were the ones that gave our houses, our land. We never farmed. So wouldn't there have been right that now when he got so much, first he will cause those that sacrificed, and I will give you. So the news went little, but Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam got wind of it, so he called them. So amazing the respect. The elder Sahaba radiallahu anhu, they said, O Allah's Nabi, we never will say a thing like that. It is the youngsters amongst us who said it. We will never say something like that. And then a very amazing conversation took place. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam asked them that, were you not in darkness and I brought light to you? So they all started crying. Then Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, no, actually fear, you could have also answered. That, O Allah's Nabi, when your own people kicked you out, was it not us that brought you in? He said, you could have answered. And again they cried. He said, you could have answered. And he said that I have given these people, these animals, if it will make you happy, that they go back to their lands with the animals, and you go back with Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. For the people it was a thrill. For the city it was a thrill. For the whole world it was a thrill. To have Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in your house, it was. The city of Yathrib became like a blood that just came out. It was known as a land of weeds. Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam entered there, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and everything happened. Finally, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, I made dua that Allah tabarak ta'ala puts double the barakat of Makkah Mukarramah, he puts it here. Hazrat Qari Muhammad Tayyab Sahib Rahimullah said that Makkah Mukarramah, from the time of the beginning of creation, it began enjoying that special tajalliyat of Almighty Allah. So much that falls on the Kaabatullah. That its position rose very high, because from the beginning of time. And then he wrote that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam came at the end of time. And after he was buried, from the beginning of times, maybe you will say about 7,000 to 8,000 years. So he said, as though like a competition between Medina Munawwara and Makkah Mukarramah now took place. So Medina Munawwara's tajalliyat started falling on the body of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but so much He said, so much fell, that gap of 8,000 years which Makkah Mukarrama enjoyed, he said, it closed so much that finally amongst the ulama, the difference of opinion arose that which city now is the highest? Is it Makkah Mukarrama or Madinah Munawwara? It is this that falls onto that city because of the blessed body of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. May Allah Pak make it that if we go there, then we don't come back dry. Something also hits on us. There is sabz gumbad bi alam fidah. He said the whole world wants to sacrifice not only on your Mubarak blessed body, but even on that dome that is green at the moment above you. Falak jay se chume zameen e Madina. He says when looking at it, it seems as though even the skies wants to kiss the land of Madina Munawwara. Yara dharra dharra nishan e nabi hai. Everywhere in Madina Munawwara I look, I see nothing but something that reminds you of you, O Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. In the past there were the houses that reminded the world that the greatest of kings who came, and what a house he chose for himself. But even the time came when they decided to remove those houses, and the time came when they decided to remove every sign, perhaps because they don't want someone to even remember Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They sometimes went to the extent, they said, come to the masjid just to read salah. But no matter how much effort they made, Rasulullah s.a.w. is so known there, so known, that no one can enter Madina Munawwara except that he will see Rasulullah s.a.w. everywhere. He will see Nabi s.a.w.'s character in the taxi driver also. That you will see him, you much more softer than any other Arab I saw. You will see him in the man doing business also. You will see the peace in the masjid, in everything he said. You will see Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Fida tujbe hai khak ya shahre Madina. May everything be sacrificed for you, O the sand of the city of Madina Munawwara. Uhud ke ye daman mein khoon e shahida sabak de raha hai wafa e Madina. Hazrat Shah Hakim Muhammad Akhtar Sahib rahimullah, he knew that everyone who goes to Madina Munawwara lands up at the graves of the martyrs of Uhud, and everyone who went for the purpose of isal e sawab, because those were the people who made so much ihsan on this ummah. But what a lesson he gave in this poem, and it's a lesson we take when we stand on that. And you look at those graves, the lesson he said is that how they gave their blood for the command of Almighty Allah. How thrilled they were, and how Allah appreciated that blood, that he made the whole world come to visit them. Hazrat Hakim Sahib would say, when the time comes for me and you to sacrifice our blood, think of the martyrs of Uhud and you will understand that Allah Tabarakala appreciates blood that is spilt. So it's an honor. He said they gave the lesson to the world, Wafa e Madina, that Madina Munawwara was a most loyal city. When Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was coming, Abbas radiallahu anhu was the uncle. He said to them that you are taking my beloved nephew in Makkah Mukarrama, although the people don't believe in him, but they will never forsake him. He said, you are taking him to a land where he got no family. I fear that when the attack happens from all the Arabs, at that time you will say, but he's not my son. So the Sahabi radiallahu anhu in respect, he said, O Allah's Nabi, will you give me permission to answer your uncle? But I might say something that might be little disrespectful to your uncle. So Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, answer. So first he said that, O uncle, you are saying this, but for so many years he has stayed amongst you all. You all haven't accepted him with open arms like how we have not even met him. And on our first meeting we have given a religion which we believed in for years. In one meeting we sacrificed it all. And then he said, O Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we promise you that when you will come to us, we will put forward our wives and our children as shields in front of you also if need be. But that was a claim. And then they lived up to that claim. So he says, the blood of the martyrs of Uhud showed the wafa of Madina Munawwara. That we all made a da'wah, we all made a claim, we all said I will follow the sunnah. But it was not everyone. So when Sahaba radiallahu anhu in the battle of Uhud passed away, this verse was revealed on that. فَمِنْهُمْ مَنْ قَضَى نَحْبَهُ وَمِنْهُمْ مَنْ يَنْتَظِرُ. Allah Tabarak said, amongst them are such some who have fulfilled the promise they made with Almighty. And there are others who are waiting for the chance to fulfill their promise. This is that wafa of Madina Munawwara. May Allah Pak make us all true also in our promises. نِشَانِهِ إِسْلَامِ كِي عَزْمَةُ وَكِي Sahaba radiallahu anhum ke qadmo se khaake Medina. He says it is the sign of the greatness of Islam that at the feet of Sahaba radiallahu anhum you are seeing the sands of Medina Munawwara. Wafadari upar Sahaba radiallahu anhum ke akhtar he tariq roshan ye shahre Medina. It was with the loyalty of the Sahaba radiallahu anhum O akhtar that the history of Islam has become a most illuminated history for the world. This is the city of Medina Munawwara.
Alhamdulillah wa kafa wa salamun ala ibadihi alladhina istafa. Amma ba'du faqad qala Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala a'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim bismillahir rahmanir rahim يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وكونوا مع الصادقين صدق الله المولانا العظيم. In this first kitab that we read, letters that are written to our Shaykh, Islahi letters, that these letters that people want spiritual rectification, correction, and the answers which Hazrat gave. So we read here one letter which is written by an alim and the reply which Hazrat gave. احکر نہایت شرمساری کے ساتھ وقفہ کے بعد دوبارہ حاضر خدمت ہوا ہے. He says, what great shame I have to say that I am coming back to the majlis after a very long time. And we all must think for ourselves what our condition. We also find it many times. Many of our friends write also that after a long time I am writing, after a long time I am coming again. So these things happen. So what is the answer for us that when these conditions befall us, that for whatever reason that a person was not attending to the majalis for a while, is tawil ghair hazri ka sabab nakara ki ghaflat susti aur la parwahi ke alawa kuch aur nahi. And he says that this for a long time that I was not coming, besides my laziness, my unmindfulness, ghaflat, and that it was nothing else but just all this, that is why I was not coming. Here also we learn that if this does happen, anything wrong we do, then we should own up and be, don't make excuses. Like we could say, I was very busy with this, this happened in the family, that happened, that's why I couldn't come. But say the matter as it is, and in there there is great benefit for us, so we shouldn't lie and we shouldn't make stories. If we do, we slipped up, we made a mistake, but then we should be self-earnest. اب ناچیز دست بدستہ معافی کی درخواست کرتا ہے امید ہے کہ معاف فرما کر ناچیز پر شفقت فرمائیں گے. He says, now with my hands folded, I'm asking for forgiveness. I ask you please that forgive me, and I promise that now I will not do this again, that in front, that you will forgive me and you will show me your kindness. To this Hazrat replied, and there is lessons for all of us in the reply. Sab maaf hai. Hazrat, first of all, everything is forgiven, and that's the quality of the mashayikh. They forgive very, very easily. And likewise, every righteous, pious person, and one aspect also is that everyone wants the forgiveness of Allah Ta'ala. For example, on one occasion, Hazrat Shaykh al-Hadith rahmatullah alayhi told one person, a person was working for them, that reprimanded him, that again you are doing this mistake, how much must I tell you, how much must I tolerate you, over and over you are doing this mistake. Maulana Muhammad Ilyas sahab rahmatullah alayhi was nearby. He whispered in Hazrat Shaykh rahmatullah alayhi's ear, and he told him that tolerate him as much as you will want Allah to tolerate you on the day of Qiyamah. So like that, the mashayikh have all the time these things are in front of them. So they make maaf also very easily. But at the same time, the advice also that is given, lekin ghair hazri sakht muzir hai. Not attending the programs are very harmful for a person. The spiritual harm is caused when a person does not attend. And this can be easily understood in various ways. Like for example, a person who he became lazy, not making namaz for example, not making tilawat, then automatically he will say, I started now, I'm still watching sports, etc. I started now, doing other wrong things now. Because we don't realize we weren't doing the right, the wrong came in. So similarly, those are farais which we have to do. But at a lower level, compared to the farais, of course, at a lower level, that when we don't come to the majalis of our mashayikh, etc., then other things also come in again. And that is harmful for us. Yeah, without us realizing the spirituality, all getting together, coming with that object, and then the talks of our elders that we hear, it has a great effect on the heart. It, perhaps we don't make it out, but it's having an effect. And this saves us from lot of wrong. And when a person doesn't come, then he gets involved in other things, unmindfulness, other harmful things also. Jiski talafi, hazri se kare. And to make up for that, it is that you must be regular. You must attend regularly. That is how you can make up for this time that you did not weren't coming. You can make up with it in that way. Khud par iktifa karna aur apne shaykh ki majlis mein na jana, usse nafa-e kamil na hoga. Just writing letters and not coming when you can come. When you are at a place, if you are far away, a different country, far away, it's a different thing. But when you are nearby and you can attend, and you are just, you make a phone call, today you send an email, for example, that you don't get the full benefit. The benefit you will get is when you will come to the majlis. And there are many things that cause that benefit. The sacrifice a person makes, making a phone call, sitting comfortably at home, sending an email. But when you are coming to the majlis, now you are making an effort, you are sacrificing your work which you have to do, that you are sacrificing, etc. Then all this mujahada and the sacrifice that you are making, and when you come here, the environment, there are so many other brothers also, all have made sacrifices also. If you just send a letter, you send an email, you make a phone call, you can't get all that. When you come here personally, then you get the full benefit. Another thing he says, قبل ازی احکر نے چند خطوط خدمت عالیہ میں پیش کرنے کے لیے لکھے مگر شرم کی وجہ سے ہمت نہ ہو سکی. He says, before this I had written quite a few letters. This letter now I forwarded. But I wrote quite a few letters before that, but because of my feeling, my guilt that I felt, that I'm not attending, etc., so I didn't have the courage to present those letters also. بعد میں احساس ہوا کہ یہ شرم تو شیطانی ہے. Now that I've sent this letter, I realized that it wasn't shame, it wasn't that guilt, it was shaitan keeping me more away, that I'm not making the breakthrough. And this is also what happens. When a person misses one namaz, for example, commonly it happens he's missing the next namaz. The next namaz, we miss our tilawat one day, we miss our tilawat again, we miss our ma'amulat, our zikr. Allah give us all tawfiq to complete our ma'amulat also. One malfuz of Hazrat Shaykh al-Hadith, Maulana Muhammad Zakaria Sahib, rahmatullah alayhi, says, if we did not complete our ma'amulat any day, then don't eat that day, till you finish your ma'amulat. And he says, do that for a while, and then you'll see you'll have control over your ma'amulat. Because our eating is so dear to us, to sacrifice that is very hard. So when we will sacrifice that, and we know, and mashallah, we have seen people who do that. When they did not finish their ma'amulat, they won't eat, they won't sleep, they will finish their ma'amulat. Then Allah Ta'ala makes it easy, and that is when it, just as we understand, if I don't eat my physical food, my bodily food, my spiritual food, if I don't eat. If I don't eat food, I'll become weak. And for 1-2 days, if I don't eat, what's going to happen? I'm going to feel so hungry, I'm going to start feeling weak. My head is not functioning, my eyes are not functioning. I'm not functioning properly because I didn't have my food. So similarly, spiritual food also. In fact, when I had come back from India, so I wrote to Hazrat Shaykh, rahmatullah alayh, it was with Hazrat Shaykh, that I don't find time to finish my zikr. Hazrat replies, the day you write to me that you don't find time to eat your food, then this excuse of yours will be valid, that now you are not finding time to make zikr. But for food, we find time. But why? For when it comes to our zikr, then I haven't got time. So it's only just like also similarly one beautiful reply was given by Maulana Salim Dhorat Sahib Dhamad Barakatuh of UK. One murid of his wrote to him that I don't get time to read Quran Sharif. His reply was, it's not that you don't get time, it is the importance of Quran Sharif is not in your heart. If the importance of that is in your heart, you will definitely find time. A smoker, no matter what work he's doing, but he finds time to smoke. Whatever else, we need to go to toilet. We know if I don't go, I'm going to mess myself. So we will find time. We will go to toilet. For everything, we will find time. A person will find time for the newspaper. He will find time for everything. But why, when it comes to our dini matters, then we say, I don't get time. If the importance of it is not there, Allah give us that importance, inshallah, and let us realize. Jo khair se maane banti hai. So the shame that I felt, the guilt that I was feeling, it was from shaitan, and it was stopping me further and further from coming. Isliye hazir khidmat hone ki himmat kar li. So therefore, when I realized this, now I took up, plucked up the courage, and I have come now. Hazrat says, Sahi faisla kya, you have made the correct decision. This is what should have been done. Further he writes, fil hal ahkar ke maamulat mein istighfar, subhanallah wa bihamdihi, ila akhiri durood sharif, teesra kalma, ek ek tasbih, aur kalma tayyiba, jis qadar taufiq ho, parne ka maamul hai. What things he's reading, what his maamul is, he's writing. And that is also very important when we do write to our mashayikh, then we should write it again. We take it for granted they know what we are reading. That they prescribed it, and for everyone you prescribe something different also. Now you can't expect the chef to remember all that, so you should write it, what things you are doing, so that he knows. Not everything in detail, but at least a sketch of it, so that he has it in mind. Hazrat writes, لیکن بقدر تحمل پر ہے بس ایک ایک تسبیح کافی ہے. That read how much you can manage comfortably. One tasbih, he's writing that he's reading quite a bit. That is also important many times, especially with women folk, more it happens that they like to read lot of wazifas. And sometimes we can't take it, the mental strength is not there to take all that wazifas. Also, for example, we're reading lot of Quran Sharif, we are reading lot of third kalima, and that is all heavy on the mind and on the body. Durood Sharif is easy. So of that also we should read how much have been prescribed, not more than that. Namazon mein ishraq aur awabin aur qiyamul layl ke char rakat ka mamool hai, aur roze jumaa surah kahf ki tilawat ka mamool hai. Further he is writing all his other mamools also. Hazrat says, mashallah, all that is very good what you are doing. So in other words, keep up to that and carry on with that. So we learn here that we should keep that contact also. Also, Hazrat writes other places, just attending the majlis also is not sufficient. That we should have that contact with the Shaykh and let him know what our condition is. That is also, it helps tremendously. So to keep this, to come to majlis always, this helps us and our spiritual food we get. And a person doesn't realize it, but he benefits it. Like a child, if he doesn't eat properly, he perhaps won't grow properly. He'll become very thin, or he will become a bit, perhaps even a bit deformed, etc. So our spiritual food also, if we don't have it, first what are the faraid? 5 times namaz, our witr namaz, all the wajibat, and all the sunnat muakkada, all that is that is compulsory upon us. Then all the extra which we are doing, which in a sense we say extra, but not extra, our tilawat, the zikr of Allah, tasbihat, etc. There is also all that spiritual food, and it helps to build us spiritually. Many of us, we say, I'm very weak, I can't save myself from gunas. Because we have become weak, we are not taking the spiritual food. So what's going to happen? Naturally we're going to be weak. We make ourselves strong, then many things which we think we can't do, Allah will make that also easy for us. When a person has got that strength, what a 5-year-old child cannot do, 15-year-old boy does it easily.
because he's grown up, yes, but he was taking his nourishment, his food, everything, so he can manage it. So we also spiritually, if we don't eat, we are like we have reached 15 years, but we didn't take food. We haven't got strength like a 5-year-old child also. So that weakness comes into us. Allah give us tawfiq that our spiritual food, very important, all of us, we need it. And we have to try and be regular. So much so, Hazrat Maulana Hussain Ahmed Madani, rahmatullah alayh, right in his old age, and also physically he was a bit disabled, and he should lie on his side and read his tasbih. So somebody asked Hazrat, well, the object of this tasbih was to bring you to a level, and you are far at that level. You don't need the tasbih. Out of humility, he said, what brought me till here, I feel shy to give it up now. What brought me till here? But it is that all the time we need that. A person needs it all the time, and it benefits him tremendously. Even when you become a big sheikh also, still don't think that now I don't need my ma'amulats, I don't need my wazifas. We need them, and they benefit us all the time. May Allah give us all tawfiq, inshallah. Answers which are given, Hazrat Maulana Shah Ashraf Ali Thanwi Rahmatullah Ali, which Hazrat has put in his kitab in this compilation of various miscellaneous subjects. Yeah, then one of this letter is that Kya Ahlullah Ki Sohbat Farz Ain Hai. There is the topic, the question, that is the company of the pious, the righteous, is their company farz or not? Like that, normally we will say it's not for us, where in how it comes, but Quran Sharif, Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu taqullah wa kunu ma'as-sadiqin. Allah commands that you must be with the righteous and the pious. But yeah, Hazrat explains this, gives this answer from a different point of view. Hazrat Hakim ul-Ummat, Mujaddid millat, Maulana Ashraf Ali Thanwi Rahmatullah Ali ne farmaya. Hazrat Maulana Thani Rahmatullah has explained this in this way, that it is for us to keep the company of the righteous and the pious. Tazkiyah fa'ale muta'addi hai. That making one's tazkiyah, purifying oneself, it is this action, this verb, is something which you cannot do yourself. It's fa'ale muta'addi, somebody else has to do it. It can't be done by yourself. Fa'le lazim nahi. It's not something which you can do yourself. A simple way for us to understand, besides the grammar and that, a top cardiologist of the world, he needs a bypass, he can't do it himself. He has to get somebody else to do it. Jo khud apne fa'il se tamam ho, it isn't just that you yourself, you can do it. That the person who does the action, that he can do it grammatically, Hazrat is explaining it. But tazkiyah, koi bhi apne nafs ka khud nahi kar sakta. No, a tazkiyah, everyone will admit, no matter what his thinking is, that spiritual purification that we have to get, to cleanse yourself, to bring yourself that you can fulfill the commandments of Allah, that you can stay away from the prohibitions, everyone who is connected with deen will know that this is a compulsory. Now when you can't do it yourself, and you need somebody to do it for you, then it will be for us that you need that person. So it's what was for us, the thing that is by which you will do that for us, that also becomes for us. So the actual for us is the tazkiyah. But because you can't do tazkiyah yourself, so where, how are you going to do it? That is also for us. So we have to, that also becomes for us. A doctor needs a bypass. If we say it's for us for a bypass, and you can't do it yourself, so it's for us, you have to get somebody who can do it for you. جب تک کہ کوئی تزکیہ کرنے والا نہ ہو فعل متعدی فاعل اور مفعول بھی دونوں کا محتاج ہوتا ہے the فعل متعدی needs a person to do the action and the action also then only that action can be done so this تزکیہ is like that grammatically also it is proven from a grammatical point of view that you do need you can't do it yourself you need somebody to do it for you ایک مقام پر فرمایا at another place مولانا تھانوی رحمت اللہ علیہ explained this اہل اللہ کی صحبت فرض عین ہے the company of the righteous, pious friends of Allah Ta'ala is compulsory on a person. Hazrat Hakim al-Ummat rahmatullahi alayhi ka fatwa Imdadul Fatwa mein hai. And this fatwa of Maulana Thani rahmatullahi alayhi, such a great scholar, in his fatwa kitab and with the references, it is there that it is for the Ain. So it is compulsory. But if we go and speak in other circles which are not, who don't know about Deen, and we tell them it's for us to stay in the company of the pious, you can't expect them to understand. They will not understand. Those who understand that Deen is important in our lives, to practice upon Deen is important, and you can't yourself bring yourself to practice upon Deen. Like this, normally we think, we hear bayan, we read kitabs, so I know what is right, I can do it myself. So much so that Hazrat in other places explained that many ulama, who are great ulama also, they teach all big kitabs of hadith also. And they say, we have got all the knowledge of Quran, all the knowledge of Bukhari Sharif, of all the hadith kitab, so why can't we make our own tazkiyah? So the same example, if we can understand, a cardiologist, top cardiologist of the world, what is he short of knowledge? He's got all the knowledge, but he can't do his own operation. He will have to go to somebody else, and somebody else will have to make his operation. In the same way, our tazkiyah also, we cannot do it ourselves. We need, so we have all the knowledge, but we will need somebody. And those who chose this path and followed the path, alhamdulillah, they felt the difference then, how the more consciousness comes. And one great consciousness of this is that a person feels that I'm not right. If that comes into a person, otherwise normally other people, whatever little, they may be just making a few namazes here or there, how they dress it, but they are quite satisfied that we are all right. The other people need it. A Jamaat goes to our house and you tell the Jamaat brothers that go to the neighbors. They need it. That is proof you need it terribly. When you feel like that, and many of us, we say, why must they come to us? We are all right. And perhaps the person is not even a five-time regular namazi, but still he feels himself to be all right. And we see the need to for other people. So this is a farz-e-ain for us, that we have to make our islah, and islah can only be made by somebody else. And therefore, we have to go to somebody else to have our islah made. Another person, Hazrat explains, Meri Umar 24 saal hai. میں ایک حامل شریعت واقف طریقت بزرگ سے بیعت ہو اور اصلاح نفس کے لیے ان کی خدمت میں جایا کرتا ہوں. This person writes, I'm 24 years old. See how important it is that a person has to go to a sheikh, has to go to somebody to make his islah. He says, I'm 24 years old, and a person who has got Shariat in his hand, that means he's a person who's following Shariat, and also waqif tariqat, and he also knows the path, he's a buzurg also. In other words, he's an alim also, he's a buzurg also. I'm bay'at to him. And for my islah, I go regularly to him. میرے والد صاحب منع کرتے ہیں but my father stops me. He tells me, no, you must not go, don't go. For whatever the details may be, it's not necessary. You are making namaz, everything, so what's the necessity of going? اس صورت میں ان کے خدمت میں جانے سے باپ کی یہ نافرمانی گناہ ہے اور باپ حق پر ہے یا خطا پر. So he says, in this condition that I'm going to this person who is a proper person following Shariat, and also a person who knows tariqat, how to make islah also, but my father doesn't want me to go. So not going, will I be disobeying my father? And will there be sin in there? Because to obey one's parents, Shariat has commanded that you must be obedient to your parents. So if I don't obey them in this matter, will I be sinful? And is my father on the right or is he on the wrong that he's stopping me from going to this person? Hazrat Rais explains this again in another very beautiful way. Munjiyat qalbiya ki tahsil, all the harms of the heart to come out of it. to all what the dirt, a person has got pride, a person does things for name and fame, all this, the illnesses of the heart, to get free from them. Or muhlikati qalbiya, and also all the harms of the heart, that a person, for example, can even fall into kufr, shirk, following the love of the ways of the non-believers. How many of us we are sitting with that, and not only that we are sitting with that love, it's open in our lives. All our daily practices, whether it is our sports and we're following some team and we're dying for that team, all that, it's so clear that the love of the non-Muslims and their way of life, their dressing, their brand names, their way, their style of life, all those things, it's not only in our hearts, but it's also shown clearly in our lives also. So to get to remove all that kaizala, wajib hai. It is compulsory that all this must be taken out from the heart. Not only the action, because the action comes from the heart. If the heart has got it, a person acts accordingly. So it must be taken out from the heart. Aur tajruba se uska tariq, hazrat kamilin, mukammilin ki sohbat aur inki taaleem par amal karna sabit hua hai. And from experience we have seen that this only happens when a person goes to in the company of those people who are experts, who are perfectionists in this field. Those mashayikh who themselves are right, and they understand also how to correct people, by going in their company, this comes into a person. Isliye hukme muqaddamatul wajib, wajib ye bhi zaruri hai. Therefore, the thing that is thing which is compulsory, and in order to achieve that, what is also compulsory also becomes compulsory. For example, you need your driver's license or anything, today almost anything. First thing, ID book. So it's compulsory you have to have your ID book. Your object is not your ID book. You want to travel by plane, they will ask you for your identification. Everywhere. So you say, I got my ticket. So I can travel, I got my visa. But where is your ID? Without that, so it's compulsory, you must have your ID. That everyone understands. You can't say that, well, I got my ticket, I don't need my ID. My ID has to be there. So in the same way, what is our pure spiritual rectification? That is compulsory, and that cannot be done until another person, we can't do it ourselves. Ye bhi zaruri. Aur tarke wajib mein walidain ke itaat wajib nahi. And to give up a compulsory action, your father says, don't go to this person. It's a compulsory thing, you have to go to him to purify your soul. So now in this matter, it's not you should not listen to your parents. Because qala alayhi salatu wasalam, la ta'ata li makhluqin fi ma'siyatil khaliq. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, it's not permissible to follow any of the creation of Allah in the obedience, in disobedience of Allah ta'ala. Like even if your sheikh tells you to do something haram, though there are cases that the sheikh has got something else in mind, why he's telling you to do that. But normally he tells you to do something haram, he tells you don't make namaz. But then you can't listen to him. Where he tells you the right things, you listen. But the wrong things, you don't listen to him also. So the father also, if he tells you, don't go to the sheikh. And he's the right sheikh and he's guiding you righteously, then in that case you'll have to disobey your father in that matter. Like if the father says, don't believe in Allah, don't accept Islam. What respect still of the father on its place? Everything, but not obedience. There we want to have that obedience for the father. Albatta, agar is murshid mein khuda na khasta koi shar'i fasad hai. However, if there is some spiritual, some religious problem with this sheikh, there is something wrong in him, and your father is stopping you because of that, his aqidahs are not right, he's committing gunas openly, publicly is committing gunas, etc. There is something wrong in him. Then, of course, in that case, to uski sohbat se bachna wajib hai. Then now to go to such a sheikh, such a person, it is compulsory that you stay away from him, that you don't go to such a person. But if that is not there, if he is right, then you'll have to disobey your father in this matter. In other words, this also shows how important it is to stay in the company of the righteous and the pious, that even if the point comes that you have to disobey your parents in this matter, you have to disobey them also. And you have to go for your islah and for your remedy. May Allah Ta'ala let us understand our deen and our sharia properly. Many times we get a very lopsided idea, and also it depends that from where we are coming to understand our deen. Today, as we have mentioned a few times, when we have in our mind our dunya and the progress of dunya, enjoyment, life of dunya, that is our mindset, dunya we have got. Then from there to understand the commands of deen, very difficult. Like for example, dressing of a lady. Then she will say now, looking at her mindset, everything is of dunya. Why must I cover my face? She'll ask, show me in the Quran. She'll ask, show me where this is written, where there sports. What's wrong with sports? But if you look at it from a deeny point of view, and now you look, you've got akhirat in mind. You realize the value of one moment about akhirat. Now somebody asks you about sports. Now, if you look at it from a deeny point of view, then you see how wrong it is. You look at it from a dunya's point of view, nothing wrong. You can fit in, I'm not missing a namaz. I will now even, musallas are even at the sports stadium. They are at the gambling dens also. So you can carry on with your gambling and you make your namaz on time also. And perhaps at the pubs also they might have a musalla. So you can drink also and you can go for your namaz also. So you look at it from that point of view, you come to a different conclusion completely. And a Muslim has to look at it from a Muslim point of view. We got the title Muslim, but our life is different. And from that point of view we look, we come to a complete different conclusion, and we can't understand many laws then of Sharia also. That the ulama are too strict in this matter. Why are they stopping from this? Why are they stopping from that? Look at it from Sharia's point of view. And then you will be able to understand that why they are telling us this is not right for us, that is not right for us. So we have to look at everything from the Sharia's point of view and not from a dunya's point of view, where we want to live a dunya's life and just put Sharia inside also. Part of the ingredients is also Sharia. No, the whole base must be deen and Sharia. And we have to fit our dunya in there. May Allah let us understand and to explain to people. For example, that is an easy way to explain. You are late at the airport, they tell you only got 15 minutes and the gates are going to close. You got your wife, you got your 3-4 children with you. You are actually virtually running to the gate. Wherever the gate is, on the way there is a PlayStation. Now one of your children, he sees the PlayStation, he wants to go and play whatever there. And you're stopping him. The wife says, what's wrong with you? If he plays a little game, what's wrong? There the whole world can understand, you have to get to the gate, that there is not a time for PlayStation. If we understand Akhirat's value and all the PlayStations of this dunya, there is no time for PlayStation if we understand the value of it. But Akhirat is not there in front of us. We don't think about Akhirat even when somebody has passed away in our home. Our mayyat at the Qabristan, we also don't think what's going to be happening to him now in the Qabr. What is his life going to be? We don't think about these things. So all the PlayStations are important for us. And if a person keeps that in mind, then how can this PlayStation? So the same way, you are rushing for your plane, okay, and you got another connecting flight again after that, your whole trip is going to be messed up, and yeah, the wife says, what's wrong, let him play a game, it's nothing wrong, the child's right, that he must also enjoy himself. Allah Ta'ala give us proper understanding of deen, inshallah. In this, we were reading the story, the incident of that person who had made a vow that he won't eat any fruit, etc., from the tree, only what has fallen down in there, and then he came into great problems about that. So further, Hazrat wrote that a person must be very careful when we make any such vows. And today again, we aren't so much in deen, so we don't even make any such vows. This was when people were really in deen. when deen was alive in our society and everything, then people, to become more closer to Allah Ta'ala, they should make such vows also, that I'll never have breakfast, for example. I'll never have lunch. But Hazrat warns, we should not make such vows which are difficult to carry out. Sometimes a person, when he's in Josh, they I'll keep every day rozas. When the time comes now, and with the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala, they also made such vows. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam advised them to the contrary also. But they said, we are young, we can do it, and they could do it. But when the time came later in their lives, then it was hard. They said, had I listened to the advice of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it should have been better for me. So many times when we are young, we make lot of vows also. But then afterwards, we can't fulfill them. So we must be very careful, and whatever we do, always remember to say, inshaAllah. That is another very important thing. InshaAllah, we miss out very easily. And without Allah's help, and great people, Nabi Ali Salatu Wasalam, and other great people, just because inshaAllah we slipped up, then the difficulties that came in front. Further, on the same, the lessons to be learned from this instance, حتى على کی انعائد کا ایک ذرہ سایہ تاعت پرستو کی ہزاروں کوششوں سے بہتر ہے. حتى على کی انعائد کا ایک ذرہ, one atom of Allah Ta'ala's favors and Allah's kindness, سایہ تاعت Ta'ati parasto, those people who are continuously in the obedience of Allah Ta'ala, ki hazaro koshisho se behtar hai, that Allah's little kindness is much more better than hundreds and thousands of years of effort from our side. When Allah just shows His kindness, everything gets done. Which we can understand what? La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. That we can't do anything. There is no turning away from sun. There is no power to do good illa billah, but by the help of Allah. I think myself, I will never commit this sun. I will never miss my fajr. Every day I'll make my fajr. Tahajjud I'll never miss. My own effort and that is nothing. When Allah shows His favor, then like the impossible becomes possible. Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu, in the battle of Khaybar, how single-handed he goes and how he fights, that was the inayat of Allah Ta'ala. Otherwise on your own, it's impossible. Khalid ibn Walid radiallahu ta'ala anhu, battle after battle, just killing, mowing down the non-believers, all that is the help. So we have to seek the help of Allah Ta'ala. Never trust on ourselves that I can do this, I will do this. That is very, very dangerous. I will never do this. We don't do such things. Other people, they may be doing it, but we never do such things. No, this is very, very dangerous. Always to be fully dependent on Allah and seeking the help of Allah Ta'ala at all times, but not becoming lazy also and then doing nothing. No, with that, whatever we have to do, we try, but never ever trust ourselves. Always seeking the help of Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala. May Allah Ta'ala give us all tawfiq, inshaAllah.